Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 9 to 11. Woe to him who gets evil gain for his house, to set his nest on high, to be safe from the reach of harm. You have devised shame for your house by cutting off many peoples. You have forfeited your life, for the stone will cry out from the wall, and the beam from the woodwork respond. Thus far, the reading of God's word. Let us pray. O Lord, we again pray that you will reveal to us in your word our will. O Lord, this is a hard text for us to see. There are many such warnings in Scripture, and we ask that we will take it to heart, that we will be at peace with you and not rebel against you. O Lord, we ask your blessing, that we will flee to you instead of being disobedient. We ask this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Roughly 200 years ago, at this point in history, there was a quite significant empire in southern Africa. It was roughly at the same time as the French Empire in Europe, maybe a little later than the French Empire, but it was about the same size, and it was brutal. It centered around a man named Shaka Zulu. Shaka Zulu was known as a well thought through military man. He invented new military strategies that he used to destroy and invade the nations around him. He was a brutal man. It is reputed that at one point he even killed as much as 2,000 of his own supporters because they did not sufficiently mourn the death of his mother. Even today, as far north as Kenya and Uganda, we hear about the Zulu Mfakane, the Zulu scattering, as people fled from the south, where it is now today the countries of South Africa, Swaziland, Mozambique, Zimbabwe, and Botswana, a huge piece of land where people fled before this brutal dictator. And of course, as a man like that, he had his own confidence. He has his own people around him who would protect him, his own best warriors. But he was not protected against his own half-brother, who betrayed and murdered him. Dingaan, his own half-brother, who took the kingdom then from him after death. Shaka was a man who thought he was at the pinnacle of the world, who thought he was unbeatable, untouchable. He was not. Small, seemingly small in the eyes of the world, event that took him out of that position that he was. But we see there also in how he sought to protect himself, how the unrepentant sinner also seek to build defenses and walls around themselves, seeking not to submit to the Lord, but seeking to justify it. That they would protect themselves and think that they are untouchable, with great result in judgment then. These verses talk about deception, self-deception, of people who think they are secure, who are not secure in their lives. It's in the context then of Habakkuk that speaks about the Chaldeans or the Babylonian Empire who was about to invade Judah, God's own people, to be destroyed. by this wicked nation. But then also, these specific verses are, this is one of five woes that the Lord speaks about those who are wicked, that they will also be destroyed, that they will not be able to stand in the last day, that their refuge is without any ground, that it will crumble. But for the believer, and this is what this text is also for us, for the believer, we can understand that the Lord is our mighty fortress. Our attackers, those who seek to harm the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, will not stand, but they will be defeated. And the Lord Himself will bring that. And the main theme then of this text this morning is the danger of false security. The danger of false security. And we look at it under three headings. Verse 9, we'll see an attempt to hide from justice. Secondly, in verse 10, we'll see sinning against our own soul. And thirdly, we see a surprising witness in verse 11. Let us see what verse 9 then says. Woe to him who gets evil gain for his house, to set his nest on high, to be safe from the reach of harm. Well, immediately we have to understand what this is. What is evil gain? How do we gain? What is he talking about there? Yes, of course, in the context of this war, there is plundering. But it's not limited only to that. It's any gain that we have that is unrighteous. Theft, extortion, cheating on taxes. How about insurance? When we know bad weather is coming and we plant anyway, knowing that we will not harvest that, but that we seek to find that money. Anything at the expense of others unrighteously. It could be for money. It could be for prestige. It could be even, as we see, in joy, in humiliating others. We seek to trample on them. That we seek to gain on ourselves the pride that we are not owed. But look at what it says there also. Woe to him who gets evil gain for his house, to set his nest on high. And we have to understand the context of what this is. In Israel at the time, they would have understood. You see this also in the Middle East, in Africa. Eagles, vultures, very often build their nests high on the cliffs. For two reasons, really. Firstly, if it's on a cliff, on a ledge, it's very difficult for predators to come down to reach their nest, to eat their chicks or their eggs. But also, they've got a wide view of what is in front of them, so they can find food. But they think they're safe. That is what he talks about here. The one who gets evil gain and sets his nest on high to be safe from the reach of harm. The Lord speaks about this in the same type of language also in the book of Jeremiah regarding Edom, that wicked nation. Edom, as you would remember, are the descendants of Esau, the children or grandchildren of Abraham, related to Israel. But during the time of the Roman or the Babylonian attacks, they also looted the Jews. But hear what the Lord says to them. As for the terror of you, the arrogance of your heart has deceived you. O you who live in clefts of the rock, who occupy the height of the hill, though you make your nest as high as an eagle's, I will bring you down from there. See, identifies also what happens there in the heart of the person who is seeking evil gain, who is seeking to make himself secure by his own means. There's an arrogance that he's talking about here. Esau, or Edom, was arrogant. And that was the reason for their fall also. That they were prideful. In the same way that the Lord speaks about in the book of Jeremiah, the reason for the fall of Sodom was pride. That's very significant. Pride as a rebellion against God Himself. Now, this is ironic, isn't it? That people so easily think they build for themselves a stronghold. Pride in our own ways. But it will end in calamity. For the unbeliever doesn't have hope. Those who are not repentant of their sins have no hope. And that's what we see also, how it is applied in verse 10 as a second point. You have devised shame for your house by cutting off many peoples. You have forfeited your life. Isn't that hard words, brother and sister? It's a shameful device. You have devised shame for your house. Thinking out these things to bring shame on yourself is what he says to those who are wicked, who are unrepentant. This is truly a false sense of security then. If we are not repentant of sin. And we see also how he talks about this in the context of this chapter. In Habakkuk 2 verse 6 we see of those who are wicked, who are unrepentant. Shall not all these take up their taunt against him and scoffing and riddles for them and say, and then he begins with the woes. You see, those who are seeking evil gain for themselves, those who have been harmed by them, will laugh at them, scoffing and riddles. There will be justice. And that is what we as believers then also can depend on. It is self-deception. Its own means of security. The Han Solo method of seeing this world that, yes, I can do everything by myself. It doesn't work. Fatalism doesn't work. It is ultimately resting on unbelief. So where is your and my security? We should ask ourselves. Maybe you've got a good inheritance without money problems. Is that your security? Remember Job. All his earthly belongings was taken away in a day. It's not as steadfast. Think about political leadership. Do you think that they will take care of us? We are reminded in the Psalms that man's hand is weak and the hearts of princes are in the Lord's hands, that they cannot save. Or our own reasoning. We think, well, we're smart enough. We can get it. We can reason these things out. And if something happens, well, we can just work out through that. That's also a form of fatalism. Depending on ourselves as weak creatures. See, he talks about he sins against his own soul. And we have to understand that there's an eternal aspect to this. Our bodies do not live forever. We die. It's buried. It rests in the ground. But our souls are eternal. And we stand before God in judgment when we, then as the Hebrews say, it is appointed for man to die once and then there is a judgment. That judgment comes after death then. We stand before Him and everything and all things that we have said and done will be open for Him to see. It's nothing we can hide. And this is also the point that we come to in the third point, at the surprising witness, verse 11. For the stone will cry out from the wall, and the beam from the woodwork respond. Someone is always watching. We cannot get past that. Even though we think we're alone, we might be sitting late at night in front of a computer thinking nobody can see what we're looking at. That is not secret. Because someone is always watching. We cannot hide from the Lord Himself. He knows our very thoughts, our actions. And that is what we then have to remember in our lives. Our sin cannot be hidden. Am I hiding something in my life? Is then the question. Is there some secret sin that I hold on that is too important for me to let go? Here is a warning then, according to this verse. The gossip that is said from one gossip to the other secretly will be spoken of on the rooftops. It will be publicly known. We cannot hide our sin. The sinner's refuge, we see here, is not secure. It cannot stand. The Lord will find them. And as I've mentioned, this way of describing this again as well, the light of truth also, according to the scriptures, for the unbeliever, if it's shown on there, it's like cockroaches in a dark room. When the light is switched on, they run. They scatter all over, seeking all the dark places, seeking to avoid the light of the truth. But the unbeliever, the only thing that he can do is run and seek to hide. But he cannot truly hide. Yes, maybe in this life he can seek to run away from the Lord as far as he can, as quickly as he can. He will be found out. But here is the safe refuge. What we have to understand for us in our lives. There's only one place. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. The same Lord who is truly in His justice, His perfect justice, hates sin, is also the one who forgives sin. That those who seek to reconcile with Him, that they will also be forgiven. And that they will also be rescued from the pits of Sheol, from the pits of hell. Our Lord Jesus Christ made mention of this in one of His parables, Matthew 7, verses 24 to 26. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and it fell, and great was that fall. See, what we see in these verses that I just read, there are two things. It's the hearing of the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's not enough. There must be an act from our side. It's not enough to hear the word preached. We have to act accordingly to what He instructed us. This scripture is given for our benefit, that we can be wise unto salvation. These are true words. Words that will always stand. the words of our Lord Jesus Christ will stand forever. We see also with David that he understood this principle very well. When he said this in 2 Samuel verses 22, verses 1 to 3, "And David spoke the words of his song to the Lord in that day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. He said, 'The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge, my Savior, you save me from violence.'" David was a man who knew what it was to be persecuted. But he also was a man who knew who to give the credit. Because the Lord delivered him from all his enemies. The nations around Israel were seeking to destroy that nation, but also the unbelieving king of Israel, Saul, who sought to persecute David. The Lord delivered him from all these enemies. My friend, where are you this morning? That's the question. Are you seeking, as David does, to build your house on the rock of salvation, the safety that we find and we build our house on? Or are you unrepentant in your sin and risking what the Lord is warning about here? That is the question that we have to ask ourselves. Those who exploit others are the ones who are in real danger. We can rest in that as believers. But they have reason to be afraid, even though they may not acknowledge it. They will not escape God's judgment. But for us as believers, what greater encouragement is there for us that we are gathered, as the Lord Jesus Christ has said also, to gather his people like a hen gathers her chicks? I'm sure most of you, all of you, have seen chickens. When there's a hawk coming, when there's danger coming, the hen would gather her chicks, call them, and she would cover them under her wings. It's the same principle that we see with the Lord, except that his wings are indestructible and his protection is perfectly safe. But none can touch us if he protects us. And not even death is something then that we have to fear. That we, when we die, can rest. That we are in his presence. That we are protected even then. And that we are in the place that he has made for us. For his people is precious to him. He has bought his church with his blood. You will never forsake her. Let us pray.